there, and welcome to seminar two on past life regression. We've got quite a few people who have come in, and people are joining by the minute. I'll try and hold back just a little bit as much as I can, but we really do have to get going. We've got lots of questions. We've got questions from New York, from London in the UK, from Leeds up there in Yorkshire. We've got a question from Glasgow, from LA, Stafford, Tulsa, in wherever that is. I'm sorry. Somewhere called Valdosta in Florida. We've even got somebody from Germany with a question coming on. Lots of questions. I would normally start this by explaining to you what my take on past life recall is, and what we would normally do at the beginning of the call is go through the four or five different things that it could be. It's already been done. It's already on the other page for these teleseminars. So if you want to listen to that, then please do so. Unfortunately, there is a little bit of microphone dropout. Now, we have sorted that, so this one should be a lot smoother, and there shouldn't be too much of a problem with that. So I'm going to get started. I'm going to start by answering as many questions as I possibly can. And the first one that we had during the week came from Bonnie Scotland, there from up in Edinburgh, and it's from Brian Devaney in Edinburgh. Is deep trance essential for regression work? Well, you know, around 6 months ago, I stopped actually using trance for regression work, and I developed what I've come to call psychic recall resonance. It's just that if you use the word psychic to mean the mind and of the mind and the soul, recall is obvious, and the resonance is just, it's basically tuning your mind into the right FM frequency, if you like, so that you can tune into these apparent memories, and that you can get the memories and bring them out and really experience them. If it is a trance state, and a lot of people would argue it is, it's certainly not what I would call a hypnotic trance state. It's not deep enough. And if it is a trance state, it's very, very light. You really don't need to go into too deep a state. And, of course, if you do go into too deep a state, then you're working with a machine that has got to be used to communicate, to talk with you, that's in lethargy mode. So the problem with that, Brian, is that, of course, it can make getting detail, and it can make getting a resonant a really good past life, something that you can really work with, something with lots of detailing. It would mean that getting that could take a long time. So I prefer not to do that. I don't go into a very deep state at all now. Really work very quickly in that case. So I wouldn't say the deep state is essential for regression work. That is unless, of course, you're talking about current life regression. That's a different thing, and that may well be that you do need to use that. I don't know. I don't do regression work myself as far as current life is concerned. I do facilitate past life recall, which is a completely different thing. Hope that answers your question. Right, we have the next question is from Pam in Essex. Hey, Pam. And the question is deja vu past life recall? Good question. I've been asked this a lot, and here's my take on it. No, absolutely not. Look at it this way. If you are sitting having a conversation with five people and you feel that you've had that conversation before, then chances are that if you had that conversation before in a past life, then that would mean that they would be speaking possibly an older version of the language. They would be dressed differently. They would be different people. It could be, and I really do strongly believe in this with deja vu, that what it is that your memory has decided to go into a mode where you start to remember stuff 4 or 5 seconds after it happens, so that you're not really paying attention. Something happens, and your mind tells you that you've remembered it rather than experienced it. So, and when you go into that latent memory mode rather than actually experiencing something, you're just remembering that thing. So it feels different. The thing with past life, of course, is that even were it possible that you shared a past life with the same people and that you had a simpler conversation, you certainly wouldn't be having the same one. At the moment, my football team, Wolverhampton Wanderers, are riding very high on the top, up towards the top of the Championship League there, and Premiership next season, hopefully. And if I was in a past life, say 60, 70 years ago, before the life I'm living now, and we'd have to go back that far to get before the life I'm living now. If we were back then we'd be talking about a different team in a different way, in a different position, in a different league. And when you think about all the things that 100 years ago didn't exist, then deja vu is highly unlikely to be a past life regression. I really do think it's just that latent memory glitch that we suffer from now and again when probably our mind is not working as fast as our brain, which doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. So I have to say no, I don't think deja vu is past life recall. Right, we've got one here from Jane in Falmouth. Everybody is energy and time is a bubble. At death, your energy can't die. It just gets redistributed. Your energy holds memories and emotions. At least that's what I believe. That's Jane. I am to share that belief, but still. What do you think about the possibility that our energy can go backwards in time? Leonardo da Vinci drew pictures of helicopters. What's the possibility that he held the memories and thoughts of the future and was just trying to reconstruct what he had already seen, but with the limitations of the time and his physical presence? Very interesting thing that, in that we not only affect our environment around us that we're living in right now, right this moment in time, both physically and emotionally. We are also affected by it, you know. There's a thing called the law of attraction, and lots of people jump up and down and say that if you think about something, you attract it into your life. That's all well and good. But if there is a law of attraction, you know, it works like gravity. And people say, yeah, okay, that works like gravity. Well, the reason that makes me smile is that if the law of attraction works like the law of gravity, then it works in both directions. So not only do you attract stuff, but stuff attracts you. And if that stuff that's attracting you is bigger than you, then you're attracted towards it. So, but you know that you as a thing, as a physical entity, as a physical mass, are actually attracting the earth, although you know, you're not unlikely to pull it out of shape or anything, but you are doing that. Now, if we take time as a bubble, which is one of Einstein's rather complicated theories, if we take time as a bubble, then you could certainly say that it is possible to remember something that you may have seen in the future. And then, obviously, as you say, Jen, you're interpreting that with the tools of the brain and your experience that you're working with in this life. So you wouldn't be able to, say, construct a working helicopter, in Da Vinci's time, because you simply didn't have a petrol engine and you didn't have all the other things and the steels and God knows what else that you needed to actually produce a helicopter. It's an interesting theory. I do have to put my hands up and say that as far as I'm aware, it's only a theory. I don't know if there's any proof. And one of the questions later on that I'm going to answer is, let me see if I can find it here. I'll have to wait for it to come up. But it's basically asking about, can you remember a future life? And you'll see from there what I really think on that. Can you recall a future life? Okay, let's see. Where are we? It's actually, I couldn't find it because it's the next question that comes up. It's from Peter in Birmingham. I don't know whether that's Birmingham in the UK or Birmingham in the USA. It's actually spelt quite well, so it's probably Birmingham in the USA. Sorry. It's just that where I come from in the Midlands, we have a thing with people from Birmingham. They're very nice people, so long as they stay there. The question is, sorry, Peter, if you are from Brum, I'm really sorry, mate. The question is, can I recall a future life? And that ties in beautifully with Jane's. I don't think you can recall a future life, but I think you can somehow maybe, I don't know, tap into it and maybe guess a future life. I don't know. If life is if time is a bubble, then that certainly answers one of the other questions that I know is in here about population size. And if life's a bubble, then we can go from one side to the other. The thing is that when we're doing past life, what we tend to do, I know the phraseology I use actually is, and you're going backwards in time, back to a time before this time, a life before this life, back to an existence before this existence. And in a moment, I'm going to tap you 1, 2, 3 on the back of the hands, and you'd be out there in time and space. You'd be drawn towards something. When you're drawn towards it, I just want you to go there. So I'm suggesting all the time to go back. So looking at it from this point of view, from this body that I'm sitting here in Devon in, the past is back there, and it's the past. And the future seems to be unobtainable. Looking at it from an entirely theoretical point of view, then obviously if time is a bubble and everything that can happen has already happened and that we're just joining the ride at different points, then yes, you can recall a past life if you've gone that far forward, if you've needed to. Okay. Interesting. That's really interesting thing. I know it's temporarily impossible, as a friend of mine, as a TV producer friend of mine says, that it's not only, in his view, not only physically impossible, but it's temporarily impossible. But we're not talking about physicality. We're certainly not talking about time as a linear thing that we see it from our existence. You know, we've no proof that time is linear everywhere. And although Einstein's theories have been debunked by a lot of mathematicians, you know, mathematicians now in quantum, using quantum mathematics, can prove that everything that can happen will. It's just that it's not likely that it will, you know. So, I don't know. But it's certainly an interesting aspect of the art of past life recall. Okay. The next question is from Alan White in New York. Why does everyone claim to have a famous past life? Amazing, Alan. I've been asked this question so often, it's ridiculous. I have never had a single member of any royal family of any kind. I've had some important people. I've had some people who thought they were important. I've had some landowners and stuff like that. I've never, ever seen a king or a queen of Europe. And I've done over 2,000 past lives, and one would think that, you know, mathematically I might hit one now and again, but then again, I suppose only 2,000, you know, there's only been a few hundred really famous people as far as that's concerned. And people, you know, don't really start getting very, very famous until the media starts to rear its ugly head at the turn of the last century, the 20th century, and then fame becomes a completely different thing. If you mean by, you know, as people coming back as Henry, who's an important person at the time of Henry VIII, there could be some confusion when that is being interpreted by the facilitator or by the person that's experiencing it, you know, because Henry was a very, very common name back in the Middle Ages. In fact, all the kings and queens' names are very, very common in those times. I remember reading once that King Harold at the Battle of Hastings was shot in the eye by a French arrow, but the French were pouring hundreds of thousands of arrows into the British troops at the time, and because of helmets and face plates and God knows what, quite a few people who died would have been called Harold, because certainly people like we call our children names after famous people, sometimes after football teams. Then people picked famous names as well, and the chances are of another Harold dying at Hastings with a French arrow through the eye would have been doable. It's possible. I'm not a poker player, so I wouldn't be able to work out the odds on that, but I should think that it's better than 52-1. So, but as far as claiming to be famous, the only one that I'm partially familiar with, and that's only from what I've read on the internet, is the lady, I think it's in Canada, who claims to be in the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe. So, but how, whether that works or not, I'm not quite sure. So it depends what you mean by famous, I suppose. Okay. Right, we've got some more questions coming in here. Great, fabulous. We're really going to have to plug on if I'm going to answer all these. Where are we? Ah, yes, Peter Brooks in London, UK asks, population, does everyone have a past life? There's not enough buddies for everyone to have had a past life, and there's more people alive now than have ever died in the past. If you take the bubble theory, Peter, if you take the bubble theory and you put it into effect, then there is a limited, a finite amount of lives and a finite amount of bodies, and it just goes round and round and round in a big circle. So it is possible then that, and that sounds trite, and it sounds like an excuse. It's not an excuse, it's only a theory, and I can't prove it in any way, but it does seem to make some sort of sense that if life goes round and round and round in a big circle, then we are counting how many people have been before us from where we are in that circle. And we're not counting how many people are likely to be in the future and how many are actually jumping across from one life to another rather than experiencing lives in a linear fashion. So I'll really have to think for the book. I'll really have to think on how to express that so that you can understand it a little bit better. But it's the only thing that actually explains it. Plus the fact, you know, that I truly believe that that souls, that minds are constructed from other souls and minds who create stuff. Don't ask me if I believe in God or whatever. I'm not quite sure about that. But I do believe in a creative process, and I do believe that something starts somewhere. So and it's an ongoing process. So who knows? Both of those fit the thing that you're asking. But the question, does everybody have a past life? In my experience, no, they don't. In my experience, I would say that one out of every eight people that I do, maybe a little more, maybe one out of every ten, don't seem to be able to recall anything. No matter how prodding I am, but I'm very careful with my language, you know, that I don't lead people, otherwise it'd be very easy for everybody to have a past life. I just think that some people are, I don't know, new. Okay. Let's see, let's go back to one of the longer questions. Jenny Palmer, psychologists would probably have some scientific view about how the brain works and would have a logical explanation for what comes forth from it, but how can anybody really explain the experience of others? My mother is dying. I'm really sorry about that, Jane. But as I stroked her forehead this afternoon, I wanted to release her memories and felt glad that her energy would just go somewhere else. Knowing that we can continue and can continue in another way is quite exciting. Knowing that we can probably recall that in another life is just extraordinary. Yes, and I think it gives a lot of hope and a lot of security to a lot of people. And I think hope and security are things that we don't have enough of. And people have accused me in the past of giving people false hope. But I think it's only false hope if you actually know that that hope is never going to be fulfilled. I look at it this way, you know, if we get to the end of our life and we die and we find out that that's not going to go on and it doesn't happen, then actually we're not going to ever find that out, because if we die and that's it, then that's it. If it's not, then whoa, we've really hit it. And I think whoa. So, Alan Balfour in Leeds asks, have you done a YouTube video demonstrate your newer technique? If not, are you planning one? No and yes. I will plan one once we've done it a few more times on stage, and once we get it perfect, and then we'll do a YouTube video, Alan, and you'll be able to use it yourself, hopefully. Okay. Eric Carr, Tucson, Arizona. I have a lot of friends who have past life readings from psychics, and it sometimes brings up a bunch of drama. In one case, the psychic told my friend that her son had been her husband in past life, and her current husband had murdered him in the past life. And my friend internalized this as resentment, and it actually caused quite a few problems for them and changed the dynamic of her household. Could you deal with this type of thing if it comes up in non-therapeutic past life recall, entertainment groups, parties, etc.? And in your experience, is this common or is it the exception? Thank you. Eric, thank you. You're going to get me into a load of trouble with this answer. Okay. Psychics telling people what they were is a big, huge problem for me. When I facilitate a past life recall, what I'm doing, I'm allowing, say I was doing you, Eric, I am allowing you to experience your memories. If you come out with rubbish like that, then I would turn around and say, right, okay, Eric, I want you to know that this could or could not be true, and I want it to have absolutely no effect on your life now. You know that you can heal everything, everything's fine. And you can just remember what you need to remember, and you can leave the emotions from this where they belong in the past. It no longer needs to affect you, blah, blah, blah. And I would probably do something like that, certainly do something like that if you were telling me those sort of things. Outside of a psychic who is actually telling you what you were in a past life and what issues in that past life you're bringing forward with you, and some past life regressionists who use past life as psychotherapy, I have never come across a case like that ever, because we just don't go into that realm. basically the way I do a past life recall, if you think about it as watching a film or reading a book or having an experience, then that's all it is. And we don't tend to come forward with, I know that person and I've seen that person doing that. And I'm not entirely happy that that's appropriate, because if it changes, as you say, if it changes the dynamic of a whole family in a negative way, I wouldn't like to be responsible for that. And if it's changing the dynamic in a negative way, then I really do think that some people should keep the big fat mouth shut. That's just killed off any connection I've got with the psychic world, which will make another friend of mine very happy. But and I'm not saying that psychics always get it wrong, but certainly I think that people who are using other methods other than straightforward recall, whether that be with hypnosis or with other methods, should not do things like that unless they are trained in how to handle it, or unless they've just got damn common sense in how to handle that and say, well, you know, it's really having no effect. It's having no effect on this life. Very, very often, we find that all sorts of resentments and that sort of thing have got absolutely nothing at all to do with anything more than just simple human nature. So, but in my experience, because of what I do, certainly for entertainments, groups, parties, because of the way we present the past life, that never becomes an option. In saying that, I have had, I did a student of mine, David, on one course that we were doing, and he went back to being a deck boy on a sailing ship, around about the time of Drake, from the way he described it, in the British Navy, and he was being held in a box, basically waiting to be flogged, which was a common occurrence on ships at that time. And afterwards, he did say to me, John, I'm not particularly comfortable with this memory. Can you take it away? So we just put him back into trance and I take it away. So apart from feeling a little uncomfortable with memories, we certainly don't get that. And I would question the ethics, and I would question maybe the motive of anybody who did something like that and told somebody something like that, without being able to prove it in any way at all. So hope that answers your question there. Jason in Falmouth. I know who that is. That's Jason Otto, a student of mine. Do you know of anyone or people taken back to Neanderthal times? Right, okay. Good question, because it allows me to explain something. The answer to this, Jason, is actually another question, and the question is, how would you know? Now, we don't believe that Neanderthal people had a language in the way that we know it. Now, if they did have a language, it would have probably been a series of grunts, whistles, I don't know, maybe even passing wind, but it wouldn't be recognizable to us in any common way. So, would they be able to explain concepts that they were thinking about as a Neanderthal using the modern brain that they're talking through now? Now, I've had this discussion many times with other people, is that, you know, even though you're not, you may be experiencing a life from the past, you're still using the equipment you've got now. Just as Jane said, you know, that Da Vinci may remember a helicopter, but he wouldn't be able to build one because he hadn't got the equipment that you needed from the future to build the thing in a physical way. So if we took somebody back to Neanderthal times, then certainly there would probably be a problem with communication. I've got to tell you a funny story, though, because my very first stage show, my very first proper stage show, those of you who've been on my stage hypnosis course know this about me, it was a complete and utter disaster. I'd got no script, I got no idea what the hell I was doing or anything else. So in front of a live audience of policemen, I was doing their Christmas dinner dance, their Christmas party, and in front of a room full, and I don't mean full, there was about 300 people in there, a policeman, because I couldn't get anybody doing anything as far as stage hypnosis was concerned, I did a past life regression with the two women on stage that I got on stage. And I got to the point where I was asking this one woman questions, and all I got out of her was grunts, where she went, mm. So, of course, me being the expert that I was at the time, the young man that I was at the time, thinking very quickly on my feet, turned around and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is a remarkable thing for a past life regression. We've actually taken this woman back to the time before communication, back to being a cave woman." So, but that's the only time I've ever done that, and I really don't think she was doing that. I think I was being a very, very bad hypnotist at the time. So, so I hope that answers your question. I'm not aware of anybody that's taken anybody back to Neanderthal times, but you know, then you've got the problem with, when, you know, we've got to ask the question, were Neanderthals human? And then we get into all sorts of theoretical, bogs, as it were, and we can get bogged down in a lot of theoretical stuff. So, not quite sure on that one. Not quite sure how that one goes. The next question is Shirley in Dallas. Shirley asks, can a past life be the cause of a current less than happy life, and can it cure it? Okay. Past life regression is certainly used as a therapy by some people. Can it cure an unhappy life now? I've no idea. I've never used it that way, although a friend of mine, one of my mentors many years ago, used what he called a constructed past life regression to cure a girl with anorexia nervosa. I think in that case, I think if you are using it in that way, it's more of a metaphor than it is an actual an actual past life regression. By the way, on the question box, can you just type in yes if you can hear me clearly, because I'm a little bit worried about this microphone doing the same thing as it did earlier on, and it's very difficult to monitor this. And so if you can hear me clearly, please just type in Y, and when I've got a couple of Ys, I'll feel a little bit happier. Now, getting back into past life being the cause of a current less than happy life, and can it cure it? I don't really know. I do suppose that it is possible that that experiences that were unresolved in a past life, at least this is a theory, that experiences that were unresolved, that weren't handled in a past life, could be affecting you in this life. That's not my experience, and I'm not sure I believe that myself. I would need a lot more proof to prove that. And I think that if we handle the memory of a past life in this life, and that helps us to get on a little bit better, fine, great, fabulous. But I don't think that that's the dynamic that we're going through at all. Alan, thank you. Yep, we've got Reg in Christchurch in New Zealand. And what are you doing up? You can say yes. Eric in Tucson and Alan in Leeds says, sound is a lot better and more reliable than this morning. Yes, I kept putting my microphone in the wrong place, Alan. It was entirely my fault. So, but we've sorted that now. Right. Okay. If you've got any questions coming up from anything I'm saying here or anything that you want me to just to refine and just to go over, then please put something in. I do have to press this refresh button, so I may not answer you straight away. But, okay. According to Regin Crisis in New Zealand, he can hear me, but I'm upside down. Fine. Fair enough. He hasn't obviously looked at an atlas recently. Remember, we drew them. And actually, you're from England anyway. I don't know why I'm even talking to you like that. Right. Totally got taken off course there. And as Billy Connolly says, some people think that they're going off at a tangent of talent. It's actually a disability. But let's get back to questions here. Anne from L.A., Anne asks, is a past life the reason for talent or child prodigies? Ah! In my opinion, yes, absolutely. I can't think for one moment of any other reason, you know. Certainly, if nothing else, you're hardwired to gain something like that. But, you know, People who pick up a musical instrument and almost instantly be able to play it, if we take on all the concepts from psychologists, NLPers, and all the other people who say that they know how the mind works, they all agree on one thing. Everything we do is learned. Some people apparently can learn almost instantly, but only one thing, because you very often find that people who are fantastically talented artists, even at a very early age, are dyslexic. So why didn't they learn to read and write in exactly the same way? And then they say, well, that's a physical thing, and blah, 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 and we get into all sorts of things. So, in my opinion, I can't see any other reason for hugely talented children or for child prodigies, other than, you know, the fact that in some way, somewhere, at some time, they've learnt the damn thing before. Okay. Brian Mark, Seattle, Washington State. Does reincarnation ever stop? Does the soul die? I have no idea, and I don't think that doing past life recall will ever give us the answer to that. I have a theory, and I lean very much towards the Buddhist and the spiritual idea that the soul is as far as is possible eternal. In as much that once it's created, it becomes part of the universe, and it may go back to being what it originally was, but it never actually dies. We live in a universe, don't we, where nothing ever really dies. It just changes form. So I don't think so. Hope that answers your question, but I know, it's very difficult for me to come down off the fence because it's a pretty high fence and I can't quite see far enough to see what's on either side of it. So I'm going to sit here for a while and keep that together. Stephen Redmond in Dublin. Hi, Stephen. We talk a lot on the groups, don't we? How do we structure a past life party? How I do a past life party is quite simple. Think of it like a Tupperware party. I persuade the organizer to persuade their friends to come along and pay to watch the organizer being past lifed. If I can't get a past life out of them, somebody and the party will get a past life, I'm sure. If I get more than five people, I know I've got probably two or three people in there that are in the right mood and I can get into the right state, the right resonance to discover and find a past life. Although, you know, you usually find that if somebody's organizing a past life party, it's not a case of how many friends can they get round to their house, but rather how much will their house hold. So, and I run it very much like, it's run very much like a Tupperware, Tupperware party. Or think of it as an Ann Summers without the lace and batteries. That sort of thing. So the organizer gets, the way I used to do it, obviously now I do it mostly on stage and I do it in bigger venues, so I don't do parties that often, mainly because I'm so bloody expensive. But when I do a party, then obviously the organizer doesn't have to pay anything, but the people who watch or the people who take part do. And I run it like that. As far as the actual presentation from it, we're doing a masterclass next year. In the presentation and the control of it, because I really don't believe that it's a thing that I could just answer in 5 minutes on a call like this. You know, it needs to be structured properly. It needs to be scripted properly. You need to have an idea of where you're going and what you're doing with it. And you do need a certain amount of presentation skills. And if you're presenting anything to an audience, and that's what we're talking about with the Past Life Party, if you're presenting anything to an audience, you do need some presentation skills. There's a lot of stage hypnotists out there at the moment who basically know how to hypnotize people and know how to get them to do stuff. And that will make most audiences laugh. But what you find with these people is that they come up, they last for about 4 or 5 years, and then they disappear off the scene. And I think it's that lack of presentation skills. I know with the Past Life show that we're taking to the West End in London next year, next February, then, you know, you do have to, you do have to be able to present. It's rather like the stage psychics. You know, I mean, the stage psychics, the people who are doing it on stage, everybody comes down on them like a tin of bricks because they say, oh, it's too dramatic, or if I don't know if you've been watching Most Haunted or if anybody's been watching Most Haunted. Look at Most Haunted if you haven't seen it, or the Paranormal Channel, and you'll see the sort of things that they do. And of course it's dramatic, of course it's big, it's television, and they have to do it that way because there has to be a certain amount of presentation. That doesn't mean that everything that you're getting is false, it's not true, or that it's not done in a very respectful way for the beliefs that are involved. And I think that's the most important thing, Stephen. When I'm presenting a past life party, I think that one of the important things, one of the best things that I must say that you must keep in your mind is that you must keep it respectful to the beliefs of the people that are involved. Okay. Right. Eric Carr in Tucson. Will your upcoming book be more about how to conduct past life recall or more about the phenomenon itself, or both? It won't really be how to conduct a past life recall at all, Eric. We are, as I was saying, we're doing a masterclass, and I'll be working a manual of some kind around that. It won't be a huge manual because it really is fairly simple and easy. So that will be involved with that. Hopefully, once we've done it, and what we'll probably do is do the first one and do it very, very cheaply because we'll film it. And we'll do it cheaply because that means if we're filming, you know, we might need to stop and go back and do things differently to get the footage that we want. So it's a little bit more awkward for the people who are attending, so we don't charge so much. Once we've done that, there will be a training DVD in past life parties and how to do them. And as I said, how to be respectful and how to be very careful and how not to use leading language. If you listen to this morning's call, there was a good question there about using leading language. Reg in Christchurch says, John, doing these parties is something I'm keen to do. I bet you are, mate. If not everyone has a past life, do you have a selection process to ensure success as a past life party? It could be a boring party if you have no past life emergees. Never happened yet, my friend, but then again, I've never done a stage show or a private party in a stage show where I haven't had at least one person go under we know that somnambulists are likely to get something that, I don't know. Here's an interesting theory. I've never thought of this before. Reg, you've really inspired me to think this. Thank you, my friend. Maybe the somnambulists were the easiest people to hypnotize. The hypnotees were the easiest people to hypnotize. Maybe they're the easiest people to hypnotize because they're the better experienced minds. There's a theory. They're better at it because they've been doing it a lot longer. I would certainly say that there's certainly a correlation between people, between how easily hypnotized people are and easily suggested are, and their penchant to get a past life. So, That also means that you've got to be very, very careful on the language level, of course, because it's so easy to lead people who are in that state. Alan, in Leeds, what about changing sex between lives? Do you feel this could affect our sexual orientation, or is there another reason for me wearing high heels? Yes, Alan, it's called transvestitism. Now, it's having a whale of a time with high heels. I've got a very good friend of mine up in Staffordshire that does the same sort of thing. I'm just looking at another question that ties in with this. Ah, yes, from Jeff in Wyoming. How many past lives do people change gender or language? Okay. I've had lots of past lives where people have changed gender, but it's not the most common thing. Mostly, women tend to go back to being women, men tend to go back to being men. I'll tell you why I think this is. Because if you are a male in this life, then the most recognizable memories would be of being a male in the last life. Now, remember that a past life is as selective as in a memory process is as selective as the life that you're living now. So you would tend to be drawn towards lives, to be drawn towards memories that are recognizable. So going back in time in the book, I'll be talking about a guy who came to see me, and I won't mention names or where it was or when it was to protect, but he was having trouble with his sexuality at the time because he was thinking of coming out, and it was at a time when coming out wasn't the easiest thing to do, and he had a past life regression just because he wanted one. And he turned out that he was beaten to death in London in Edwardian times for being or early Victorian times for being gay, although those aren't terms that he used. When he came out of it, he was quite happy with that because he said that explained a lot for him. Now, you may have thought that he might have gone back to being a girl. I don't know. It would be interesting, maybe, to do some research on past life regressions with cross-gender people to see if, in a past life, if that had any effect. That may well do. I don't know. Do I feel it could affect our sexual orientation? Possibly, but I don't think so. Because, you know, our past lives, for most of the time, for most people, are so well repressed that we don't remember them. So, and they're so well repressed that I don't think that they have a relevance for most people at this time. So, right. James Brooks in Glasgow asks, do you regress children? And if not, why not? No, I don't. I only regress people over the age of 18, just the same as I would only hypnotize people over a certain age and stage. I would be happy with 16, but the law in this country states 18. Because I do hypnosis, I do tend to do hypnosis. If I do hypnosis, I don't do that to do past life recall, there's no need. But if I do formal hypnosis on stage, then I'm legally required to make sure that they're of 18 in this country. I would want them to be of an age where they fully understood what they were coming into and that they could make that decision themselves. So, no, I wouldn't regress children. I certainly wouldn't do current life regression with children. I don't believe in current life regression anyway. I believe it can do more damage than good. Whoops, that's upset all the analysts out there. But no, I don't, James. And why not? Because of my quite strong sense of ethics, I don't think it's appropriate, and I don't think it's the right thing to do. So, okay. Darren in Stafford. Oh. Back in my hometown, Darren. I saw you do a past life presentation in Canuck some years ago. It was brilliant. Thank you very much. Do you believe in reincarnation, and is this vital for the facilitator? Do you know, that's the first time anybody's asked me that on these two calls. We've had two calls, and nobody's asked me what my belief is. My out-and-out belief is that, yes, I do believe in reincarnation. Is it vital for the facilitator? No. I think respect for people's beliefs is vital for the facilitator. I think that if you respect the other people, that people have different beliefs, then including skeptics, and I think that if you show respect, that that's the vital thing. I don't think it's vital for the facilitator to share the belief in reincarnation. The same as it isn't necessary for a hypnotist to believe that the onion's the apple, to get people to taste an apple instead of an onion. In fact, the belief is usually the other way around. So no, I don't think it's vital. It might be useful, but on the other hand, you know, you do have to be careful that your own beliefs aren't imposed on the person that you're working with. Alan White in New York has another question. Is it possible to recognize someone from a past life? Actually, he goes on to say, yeah, okay, let's answer this one first. Is it possible to recognize someone from a past life? I've been told so. I think so. I think that souls recognize each other. I think that's why we can find a soul mate. And okay, that may sound like I'm in La La Land, but to be honest, it's just around us all the time that people find that they resonate so much with people. We've all heard the phrase, it's like I've known you all my life. Maybe you have. So I think so. I think that we can. If we had a bad experience in a past life, why on earth would we come back? Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm really going to try and answer all these questions, but I've only got 10 minutes left. Hang on, I can extend by 15 minutes, but I'm not going to because I've had no dinner. But right, that's a good one. If we've had a bad experience in past life, why on earth would we come back? Okay. There are several theories. There's the Buddhist theory that each incarnation is a school where you teach and you learn. I know, please don't write to me, you know, enormous emails if you're a Buddhist and you say it's not quite that simple. No, I know, but that's what it boils down to. The other theory is that life, an incarnation, a physical existence, is rather like a fairground ride, yeah. You know, you're stuck up there. You're in energy land. You're a bit bored. You know, you're just essences floating around, and there's not a lot to do. So, you know, you fancy drinking a little bit and learning what pain feels like, and learning what love feels like, and learning what sex feels like, and so you join a roller coaster ride for a little while, and you just enjoy it. Yeah, you learn some lessons from it, you get something like that out of it, but also, you know, there's a theory expanded by people like Esther Hicks and one or two other spiritualist type people, where they say that we come into the physical being because that's where we can create, and where we can create and appreciate beauty in a different way to the way the spiritually. And that's a nice belief. I quite like that one. So, why on earth would we come back? Well, it's rather like saying, well, I didn't like that ride, but that doesn't mean that the next one's not going to be great. So that's why I think we would come back. I'm not a great believer that I'm disabled in this life, and I don't believe that I'm disabled in this life because I was bad in a past life. What I think is that, you know, you pick a ride, and sometimes it's like buying a car. You know, sometimes you buy a car and you get a Wednesday car, which is absolutely fabulous, or you get what they call a Friday car or a Monday car, which, although it's the same make, it's the same style, it's the same everything, the two cars are totally different. The one almost instantly rots, falls apart, and is terribly engineered, and the other one, even though it's exactly the same, is a dream, you know, and everything works smoothly. And I usually say to people, you know, you go through life, you drive a Rolls Royce, or you drive a Skoda, and I happen to be driving a Skoda, so one of the old ones. So, you know, I think that we would come back just to experience life, because it really is good, you know. William Brook, Tulsa, Arizona. Why aren't past lives always perfect memories? I had a past life, but everything was very patchy. Okay, really important this. No past life is ever perfect, but no memory of this life is ever perfect. If I said to you, what were you doing on Tuesday the 27th of December, 1993 at precisely 6 minutes past 2 in the afternoon, you probably wouldn't be able to tell me. I know I certainly wouldn't be able to tell you. So what I would get is some patchy bits and pieces, and I might be able to piece together something that I was doing, but I'd have to look what the weather was like and everything. I don't even remember if there was a 27th of December at that time. So, you know, obviously you will remember bits. You remember the most important things. When I'm doing a past life, you know, I always say to people, right, I want to move you on to a significant time in this life, a significant time, because it's the significant times that you are going to remember more easily. And then that's exactly the same in this life. You remember the significant bits. Our memory works wonderfully well, so that we, you know, we say, oh, it's terrible to repress memory, but if we didn't, we'd go insane, because if you could remember every minute detail of everything forever, you would go instantly insane. So that's why past lives are no better than your current life memory, is because you just didn't store away or recall anything that wasn't significant or important. Eric from Tucson. So, if past life memories are suppressed so much in most people, does that mean you do not believe that past lives set subconscious patterns into place or karmic influences that carry on in later lifetimes? Well, you know, we've got an awful lot of repressed memories from this life, haven't we, Eric? And not all of them affect us in one way or another. As for karmic influences, I don't know. I don't know about the karmic balance or whether it works like that. Yes, significant memories can have an effect on us, whether they come from a future life, a past life, or this life. But, you know, most of our stuff that we're experiencing now will come from the experience that we're having now. That's because that's the most relevant. That's the most relevant thing. I don't think they're so much suppressed as actually repressed. You know, they're just not there. They just we didn't make that memory pattern. So yes, I suppose past life memories can be set in place. They do influence. In later lifetimes, how much that goes on and how strong those things have to be, I'm not quite sure. The interesting thing is that it's only during a recall that we get those lives coming into play. So, because of that, one would suspect that there's a natural that there is a natural process of weeding out most of the bad stuff. Sometimes that process breaks down, but we know that happens in this experience as well, that sometimes that process doesn't quite work properly. What you've got to remember is that even if we are a soul, even if we're an energy being, we're using a body, and that body exerts as much influence on us as we do it on it. So it's rather like I know this sounds very NLP, but it's rather like having a badly programmed computer. If you've got a badly programmed computer, it doesn't matter how perfect you are, you're going to be influenced by that. I mean, I use a Mac. If you're a Windows user, then you probably get frustrated at least 3 or 4 times a day just waiting for the damn thing to catch up. That doesn't happen to me, but what can happen with a Mac is that you have to use iTunes and nothing else works, and which is really frustrating because I hate the program. But So there's a natural process that weeds out as much of that as possible. Whether we call that karma or whether we say that that it's instilled by a greater being, or there's certainly an order to things and an order to the way things work. I think that we can recall certain instances in past life because it's just part of bypassing the process, the same as we always do with psychotherapy, the same as we always do with hypnosis. It's bypassing that logical process. Okay, where are we? Timmy from Timmy, I'm sorry if I mispronounce this. It's Valdosta. I think that's in Florida. People can pick me up and tell me that I spelt that wrong. Is it appropriate to experience past life recall for nothing more than the experience? Right. I think so. Yeah. Why not? Providing it doesn't do any harm, providing nobody's harmed by it, providing it's well facilitated, providing everything's in place, then why not? Why not go for the experience? It's what I sometimes call hypnotourism. I believe that there's absolutely nothing wrong in just hypnotizing somebody for the hell of it, especially if you're using a relaxation process. People are relaxed, people can calm, people can chill. So I don't see any experience just for the sake of it. Providing that experience isn't harmful, hurtful, or unproductive providing it's not actually harmful or hurtful to any other human being or to yourself, then I can't see any harm in it whatsoever at all. And I would say that that's appropriate and ethical, because if somebody asks you to do that and you do it, and you do it well, and you do it safely, then I don't see as any harm's been done at all. So, right. Let me look at the time. We've, according to this, we have run out of time. I've got one last question, and this is from a disbeliever from Germany, and that's how he's, or she's signed themselves, disbeliever from Germany. Why don't you claim James Randi's $1 million? Because I can't prove any of this. That's why. Certainly not in the way that James Randi would want me to prove it. But I'll tell you something about James Randi, because he's made a fortune and made a name for himself. Although he's a half-decent magician, he's made a name for himself, rather the same as somebody in our country is doing at the moment, by being a naysayer. And the beauty of being a naysayer is that just if you can emulate anything with trickery, then that means that the thing you are emulating must be a trick. And that's wrong. That's totally, completely, and absolutely wrong. Because just as I couldn't prove psychic powers or psychic recall, James Randi can't disprove it other than to say that it doesn't exist because I can't prove it on his terms. So it would be rather like trying to disprove God. And you know, the thing is, the vast, and I do mean the vast majority of people believe in some sort of spiritual organization of some kind. Now, I don't know about any other hypnotist, but I believe that if you get enough people believing something, that makes it real. So whether it started off being false and then turned into reality, or whether it's something that's real that just can't be proved because it's other than physical, who knows? But I'm sure that James Randi is very happy with his $1 million, and I'm sure that when he dies and he's thinking of coming back, he'd probably do it again because it certainly made him famous. Okay, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you wonderfully for all the questions. A lot more than this morning. Been really great doing it. Emails. If there's anything comes up, if you want to email me at any time, please do so. There's too many of you to give out my private email. But if you use the one that I use the most, which is John, J-O-N, at thehypnotist.co.uk, that's John, J-O-N, at thehypnotist.co.uk, then by all means, come along. Now, the Past Life Regression Workshop Masterclass next year, we're not sure when we're doing it, we're not sure how we're doing it, we're not sure where we're doing it. It will be a two-day masterclass. It will more than likely be residential, and we usually, if we're doing something residential, we like to be near an easy-to-get-to place, from places like Heathrow and that sort of thing. We've no plans to bring it to the States, although if enough of you register your interest, then we'd certainly think about that. So if you go to learn-hypnosis.com, that's learn-hypnosis.com, and go to the masterclass there and just register your interest. Now, all you've got to do is just click the button and register your interest. There's no obligation. We don't know when we're going to do it. As I say, we don't know how we're going to do it. It just depends on numbers and on the interest that we get. So if you are interested in doing that, please come along and do it. It's been great. It's been fantastic. And I am really, really hungry now. So just remember one thing. You know, you can change your mind. And if you can change your mind, you can change your life. And if you can change your life, you can live happily ever after. I wish each and every one of you a very long and a very, very happy life, both in this life and all the others you've got coming. My name's Jonathan Chase. Good night.